glory. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Isn't God good today? I mean, what a blessed day we're in.
Praise the Lord.
What a blessed day we're in. What a blessed place we're in. Glory to God.
Amen.
You know, there's people that might say, oh, you know, it's weird. You have church in a hotel. But hey, praise the Lord. At least we're not having church out in the weather.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've had some pretty nice Saturdays this year. I think that's a plan of the devil. Praise God. I think the devil's trying to give some nice Saturdays to keep people away. I'm just kidding. But you know that, you know, it's going to be snow soon. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful we got something to, some place to go and congregate where we don't get our heads wet.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We can get our noggins wet. We'd stay dry. We can stay comfortable. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Get a little too cold because there's air conditioning on, pumping out. Praise the Lord. But we're excited for what God's doing. Amen. God's doing great things here. I just can't, you know, I can't hardly go through a town and not expect that the Lord, to know that the Lord wants to do something there.
Yes.
Amen. I go through all these small towns. When we go driving around, we go through all these small towns. And I'm just going to tell you that God is ready. He's waiting. He just needs those laborers. He needs the people who are willing to go. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. We'll be those people that will do what God wants us to do. And we'll find the plan of God. We'll make sure that we do the plan of God, live in the plan of God. Amen. Because God's got some, he doesn't just have good things for them, but he has good things for us for our obedience.
That's right.
Amen. And that's pretty exciting too.
Yes.
You know, so many times we talk about what we were supposed to do, and that's good. But we have to remember that God also blesses us for being obedient.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's not a bad thing at all. When God's blessing, you know, I love that. You know, we reading that, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 there, and we're talking about the plans of peace and not of evil.
Yeah.
You just think of that. Plans of peace and not of evil. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Now, how can we ever find God doing bad stuff to us in there?
Right.
He said, of peace.
Yeah.
Are you full of peace when you've got sickness reigning in your body? Are you full of peace when you don't know how you're going to pay the next? See, the thing is, where the peace is found is in the truth of the word.
Right.
It's found in the promises of God.
That's
and so we know that there's a promise and we have something we can rely on and we can remain in peace.
Yeah.
And see, it's the people that don't have any promise. Those are the people that aren't in peace.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be like those people. We don't want to act like those people.
Right.
We want to live in God's peace. And don't you know, today we're going to talk about the peace
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Today's message is called The Key to Perfect Peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm just so excited about this. I'm excited. You know, the Bible says so much about peace, you know. I could have done a whole message and never left Psalm. The Psalms. Praise the Lord. I could have done an entire message and never left the Psalms.
Yeah.
I was looking at it, and I had to cut some stuff out because I just keep you here all night long. We could just out of the Psalms. You know, and a lot of people, they like the Psalms. They know about the Psalms. It's not something that's, you know, they even add that with the New Testament along. They just give you the New Testament. They also give you Proverbs and Psalms a lot of times.
Yeah.
Why? Because we know that there's good stuff in there.
Yeah.
There's good direction in there. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
But, you know, first I wanted to mention this. This has been coming to me kind of all day, but it came to me. It stirred up again in me as I was just thinking about, you know, the churches and what we teach. And, you know, there's opposition sometimes even within our own faith, our own community, the other Christians that say, oh, you teach the wrong stuff or you teach this and that. You know, and as I get to thinking about this, you know, I think it's funny how people argue. But the thing you can't argue with is you can't argue with the fact that people who go to church on a regular basis and put the word to practice, that their lives change for the better.
Yeah.
You can't argue that.
No, that's right.
If they go to a word-based church where they hear the word and they put to practice the things that are taught in that church, you can't argue with the fruit of that.
Right.
And that's what I love. People, I have had Christians on numerous occasions try to convince me essentially of why God is bad and doing bad things. Now, they won't say God is bad. It's easy to say God is good. It's a whole other thing to believe that God is good. But people will come down, they'll argue with me about it. So, like, people have arguments with me, and I've had arguments before or discussions, intense fellowship, praise the Lord, if you want to look at it that way. But I've had these discussions with people before, and I'm like, wait a minute, so you're trying to argue that God wants to do bad things to you. That's the basis of your argument.
Right.
I don't know about you, but that sounds like absolute foolishness.
Yeah.
You know, even if you had the worst thing happen to you, and you ended up dying, which wouldn't be the worst thing if you're a Christian, but even if that happened, you know, that doesn't mean that God is bad.
Yeah.
God didn't plan that for you. He didn't make that happen. Yeah. I mean, there's people that have missed God, and as a result, they've ended up going home early. But you know, that's not the plan of God.
Yeah. Right.
He said, with long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I love that scripture. So, you know, if you ever get talking about people, and you'll talk, if you share your faith, if you share the things you learn, eventually somebody's going to come to you and say, I don't know about all that. You can just say to them. So you're trying to tell me, you're going to argue on the side that God isn't going to do good things for me. You're going to argue on the side that God doesn't want good things for me. Well, then explain to me Jeremiah 29:11.
Yeah.
Right.
Explain to me what he meant by that.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. I'm glad you're excited. That's free, no charge. Hallelujah. Well, today we're talking about the key to perfect peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. The key to perfect peace. I'm gonna give it to you right up front. I'm going to tell you right what it is up front. It's meditation on the Word, and it's praise on the lips.
Hallelujah.
Meditation on the Word and praise on the lips. We're going to see this in Scripture today. But if you want peace reigning in your life, there's two things you need active in your life. You need to be meditating on the Word, and you need to have praise on your lips. Hallelujah. Without those two things, you will not have peace. Those two things are the keys to get into perfect peace.
Yeah.
If perfect peace is behind the door, praise the Lord, the keys to open that door are praise and meditation in the Word.
Yeah.
Why? Because meditation in the Word is going to remind you of God's promises. And not the lies that you want, that the devil will try to send you.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know. This sickness is too great for me. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if we can do it this time. You see, the meditation on the Word will cure all that garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll wash all that snarf right off of you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It'll get that garbage out of your mind. It gets rid of the stinking thinking. Meditating on the Word, if you meditate, truly meditate in the Word. What do we mean by meditate? I mean to sit down cross-legged, praise the Lord, and hold your hands like this, burn some incense, and go, That's not what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Meditating on the Word. The word meditate, and when you look, see that word in Scripture and you look it up, the word literally means to mutter or to utter or to say.
Yeah.
It's just repeat, to say over and over and over again. Why? Because the Bible says that we will have what we say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus told us we will have what we say.
Yeah.
So when we meditate on the Word, when we think about the Word, when we talk about the Word, when we bring the Word to our remembrance, hallelujah, we're reminded of the promises, not the lies.
Yeah.
Right. We're reminded of God heals.
Yeah.
Every sickness and every disease.
Thank you.
That's right.
We're reminded that God supplies.
Right.
We're reminded that God restores. We're reminded that God redeems. We're reminded that God delivers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's paid for all these things already. We're reminded of that truth as we seek the truth of the Word. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And we're going to see that praise also opens the door. Praise God. Praise, because, see, praise is that thing that gets us over into that realm of thinking right.
Yes,
because
right.
You're thinking wrong. You can't think wrong when you're praising the Lord.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't think wrong when you're praising.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you can't praise God for very, very long and still have bad thoughts. You're going to stop one or the other. You're going to either, if you're praising God through a trial, one of two things is either going to happen. You're going to stop praising because of the pressure, or you're going to stop having the pressure because of the praise.
That's good.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Well, I'm excited. I'm glad you are.
Yeah.
Isaiah, I want to start here, and I'm just going to bring the scripture up. You don't have to turn there. But Isaiah 26:3, write it down. Go do it later. This is a scripture that every Christian should have in their arsenal.
Yeah.
Every Christian. Because I'm going to tell you right now, the purpose of the attack is to rob your peace.
Yeah.
The purpose of the trial is to rob your peace.
Yeah.
Why? Because God wants us in rest. God moves us towards rest. He always moves us in the realm of rest towards peace because God is peace. Why? Because love is peace.
Yeah, right.
God said that the opposite of love brings torment, and God doesn't bring torment, He brings peace.
Yeah.
You will keep Him in perfect peace. Everybody say perfect peace.
Perfect peace.
Does perfect peace, is that lacking peace at all?
No.
Can you imagine what perfect peace is? If you think about it long enough, if you start thinking, you can look at a situation and say, you know what? This ain't perfect peace. This doesn't involve perfect peace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The Bible says He'll keep us in perfect peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Whose mind is staying on you.
Yeah.
You could say this, He will keep them in perfect peace who meditates in His Word day and night.
Right.
He will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is on the things of the Lord and not the things of the flesh, not the trial, not what's coming against you. You will keep him in perfect peace because that's what God does. Hallelujah. Because he trusts in you. Now, I want to bring this up in the Amplified version. Why don't you go ahead and look up here at Isaiah 26:3 in the Amplified. Glory, hallelujah. This is what the scripture also means. If you break it down, if you squeeze it out, you get the essence of it out. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to this. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, oh, that's good, is stayed on you.
Yeah.
Because he commits himself to you, he leans on you, and he hopes confidently in you. Glory. Or
glory to God.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's good.
Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. That's what it means to keep your mind stayed on the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter what we do. We commit it unto the Lord. When we do all things as unto the Lord, then we know that we can stay in perfect peace.
Yes.
If we don't have perfect peace, then we need to get to the root of the problem and figure out why.
That's good.
Now, the lack of peace will come for a few things. Lack of peace will come if you're in sin. But the Lord will deal with you if you're in sin.
Yeah.
Your conscience will deal with you if you're in sin. So if you're doing something that displeases God, if you see it in the Word or you know it according to your spirit, well, you're not going to be in perfect peace. You can't be.
Yeah.
Right.
There will be no peace there.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we understand this, where when the more that we fill up on the stuff of the world, the less we have of God, and that's filling up with the stuff of the world, so the more we have of the world, the less we have of God. You can't mix the two.
Yeah.
But you know, there's so many places that allow Christians to be wishy-washy Christians. We don't allow that. When I say we don't allow that, we preach the bold message.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of how bold it is, regardless of who likes it or who don't like it, we're going to preach the truth, because as we preach the truth, it drives that snarf out of
yes.
the church.
Yeah.
And see, we're because it's either going to push it out or push you out.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
Now see, we don't want to push people out. That's not our goal. But if people won't change, if people won't get in line with the Word of God, then we can't have them stand around.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about somebody who won't indefinitely. I'm not talking about somebody who does it for a time. It took me years, hallelujah.
Yeah.
So I ain't talking about booting people out just in the first few years.
Yeah.
I'm talking about over a period of time, you either get on or you get off. But one
right.
of the two is going to happen, hallelujah.
Right.
And see, the thing is you look at me like I'm mean, but I'm going to tell you right now, God does the same thing.
Yeah.
God isn't okay with sin forever.
That's right.
He says, how long will I put up with you, basically, in the Word? How long will I do it? It doesn't happen indefinitely. He did with the people of Israel for so long. And then the Bible tells us that eventually, he said, if you don't be careful, he said, you think God's going to treat you any different? He said, you've been grafted in. You ain't even part of the original branches. But he said, if he didn't keep the original branches, he certainly ain't going to keep you either if you don't listen. Hallelujah.
Right.
So it matters that we get it right. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. See, we want the blessing of God. We want the direction of God. We have to also be willing to keep our minds on the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is why distraction can be so dangerous in a family. Because if distraction leads us away from this place of keeping our minds stayed on Him, of keeping ourselves committed to Him, leaning on Him. You know, there's so many times in the world that we look at things around us, and I know the desire to want things of the world. And I'm even talking about things that aren't good for us. I know that desire to want things that aren't good for us. But see, that doesn't create the perfect peace.
Right.
See, someplace we're going to have to decide, are we okay with not having peace, or do we want the peace of God? But if we keep our minds on Him, He will keep us in perfect and constant peace. And part of the way we do this is by being in the Word. Because when we know what the Word says, the Word will always direct us correctly.
Mm-hmm.
It will always direct us in the right direction. Yeah. It will always, the Word, I'm going to tell you right now, the Word will always bring you back to His perfect peace.
That's right.
It always points back to His peace. If you get lost, you ain't got to go any further than your Bible.
That's
isn't that great?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. He loved us so much. He said, you can be lost, you can be off, you can be out there. All you got to do is find a Bible.
Yeah. Right.
Find yourself some scripture and start reading it. That'll direct you right back to me.
Yep.
It'll get you right back. I remember going to my grandparents when I was in my early 20s, and I was lost and my life was falling apart, and they were my spiritual upbringing, and I went to them and I said, I know what I need. I don't know how to get there. You know, but the truth was, the whole time, it wasn't hard.
Yeah.
Right.
I had several Bibles in my bedroom. That's how you get there.
Oh, yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You just get in that Word, And you let that word start working in you. But see, it's when we pick and choose. That's where people get into problems. And you'll always see that. Any Christian who picks and chooses, I'm going to tell you one thing, or a few things to watch for. And you will see this over and over again. God will show you it's true. But any Christian that picks and chooses in the word, they are unstable. They are wishy-washy. They will be up one day. They'll be down the next. They will never have any real direction in their life. They'll be doing things that aren't scriptural. They'll be doing things that are weird and goofy. Why? Because that's the way people are when they're not grounded in the word.
Sure.
And you just watch it and you'll see. Over my boys and my daughter's life, I've pointed out many things where I was like, see, this is why this happened.
Yeah.
Not to point at people, but to say, this is why they go through this.
Yes.
This is why this happened. This is why they fell off. This is why it didn't work for them. And see, when people start getting ideas, and we have to be careful, we have to watch this, because we will get ideas in our head that we think are of God. We think that they're good. But the Bible tells us to test the spirits. If you have something come in your head, line it up with the Word. Ask a friend that you know is faithful. Ask your pastor. Say, hey, well, does this line up with the Word? Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, Pastor Katie was talking about this woman that came to her and said, she was talking about forgiveness. And she said, the Lord told me that I could forgive but not forget. Praise the Lord. You can't forgive and not forget.
Right.
Because the Bible says that when God forgave, he sent his, he cast as far as the east is from the west.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And he said, just as I forgave you, you have to forgive them.
That's right.
You can't forgive and not forget. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to lay down and be a doormat for someone.
Right.
But what I'm saying is you can't hold it against them in any way, shape, or form. You can't.
Right.
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
But this, you know, the point, the reason I bring that up is because she said that to Pastor Katie. She said, the Lord told me. Pastor Katie had no grounds to tell her anything else. I can't tell you against what the Lord's telling you. If you think the Lord's telling you something, I have no right to sit there and intervene.
Right.
Why? Because you're supposed to be led by the Spirit yourself. That's why I'm careful about the words I choose. If I have something I think the Lord has given me and it's a question that I have, maybe I'm not perfectly understanding of it, I take it before my pastor, sure, and I'll go before him and I'll say, what do you think about this? This seems like this is the way it is to me. And he'll always say to me, well, the Bible says this, this, and this. Well, then I know it's not right, or I know it's right. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And see, you can be corrected if you're willing to be corrected.
Right.
But when you come to a pastor and you say, well, the Lord told me, can't do anything about that. So we have to be careful. You know, so many people run around saying, Lord said this, Lord said that. You got to be careful what what you're saying the Lord said.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't, you're going to answer to that someday.
Yeah.
And people think that just answering it is just going to be like, you know, no, it's going to be a fearful thing to stand before God if you're off, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. Psalm 1:1. I love these scriptures. One thing I love about Psalm 1:1 is it's so stinking easy to remember where it's at.
Yeah.
It's just the beginning of Psalms. You just go there and just know that there's some real good stuff at the beginning of Psalm. It kicks off, right? It starts off, right? It didn't take a little while to get. There's no introduction. It just starts off with a humdinger. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that this is probably the theme. If you really want to think of it this way, you could consider this the theme of the Psalms. Now, there are psalms that talk about other things that don't seem so great, but we have to understand those in context. You know, we don't use those, you know, you don't meditate on, you know, there's a place in the psalm, I think, where it talks about getting a rash or something like that.
Yeah.
You don't meditate on stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Let's not be goofy, right?
Right.
Psalm 1:1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man.
Yeah.
Starts off with being blessed.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Yes.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Blessed is a man. This is going to be all the instruction you need. Anyone in here want to be blessed?
Yes.
Any woman in here want to be blessed?
Yes.
You qualify under this too. Blessed is a man or a woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly,
right,
nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Just stay right there for a second. I want to point out something. Who walks in the counsel of the ungodly. What's that? Listening to the people that aren't godly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Listening to people that are of the world? That's what it is. Taking counsel with people. Constantly listening to what everybody else is saying.
Yeah.
You know, listen, if somebody isn't serving God, if they're not going to church, I filter very strongly and very heavily what they say. I don't sit there and listen to everything. Now, if they're trying to tell me how to change the oil in my car, well, praise the Lord, I'll listen.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's over. I don't even know if I'd listen to that because I don't change oil in my car. I let somebody else do it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Somebody else is blessed to do it. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory to God. But do you know what I'm saying? There'll be things that we do. Amen. But walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. What's the path of sinners? That's the road that sinners walk down.
Yeah.
It's doing the same things. When you see somebody who doesn't go to church, who doesn't serve God, when you see somebody who is living life completely opposite of everything you would hear in church, that is a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And their road is their path.
Yeah.
Okay, blessed is the one who doesn't stand in that path.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know how many times, like so many Christians, like it's like there's these Christians that get into these extreme ideas of grace, that God's grace just covers us for everything and that you can live any way that you want. But you see something like this, the one who's blessed is the one who doesn't do that stuff in the first place.
Right, exactly.
So it doesn't matter that it doesn't matter that the grace is there. It's saying the one who's blessed is the one who doesn't even go there.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
No, praise the Lord. If you happen to stumble on the path of a sinner and you realize it, what do? You get off the path and get
right.
it back in the righteous path.
Because right.
when you do that, praise the Lord, there's blessing there.
Yeah.
See, that's where grace comes in. Say, oh, you got on the wrong path, but guess what? Hey, I'm over here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Take the instruction manual, get out, get the map out, praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to the Holy Ghost, let him lead you.
Good.
Get back on the right path. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Oh, you've seen it all day. Amen.
Yeah.
Glory, hallelujah. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Do you know what the scornful are? They're the ones who are constantly ripping apart what is good.
Yeah.
They're scornful. Oh, I don't know about all that stuff. The Christians are the worst. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I have Christians, so many Christians argue the truth with me.
Yep.
Again, just like what I said. Like, so you want to say to people, and I probably will start doing this because this has come recently to me. So you're telling me that God is bad. You're telling me God wants to hurt you. God doesn't want good things for you.
Wow.
Well, I don't know about that. You see him backtracking in your mind. Well, I wasn't saying that. You know, I was just saying that he'll put mountains. Well, if he's putting mountains and he's bad, if he's stopping you from getting where you need to be, if he's inhibiting you from going where you need to go, praise the Lord. If you got something, if you got a blockage in your arteries, glory to God, you can't leave it there.
Right.
Right? If you leave a blockage in your arteries, what's going to happen? Probably going to have a heart attack. Going to have a stroke, something like that. Blockages are not good in the body. They aren't good outside the body either.
Right.
If they're not good in the natural body, they're certainly not good in the spiritual body.
Right.
Praise the Lord. God ain't no blockage.
Yeah.
God isn't high cholesterol. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
God is free-flowing.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. That's where peace is.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing where people don't understand about peace. God is peace.
Yeah.
His way is peace. His way leads to peace.
Yeah.
Peace
right.
is
yeah.
the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
So mountains aren't part of peace.
Right.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Now look at this. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. What are we talking about there? The Ten Commandments. No, that's not what we're talking about.
No.
The law of the Lord really can be translated the word of God.
Yeah.
When we see the Bible, that's what the Bible's talking about. The word of God. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. That means he does nothing else. He doesn't get up. He doesn't eat breakfast. He doesn't go to work. He doesn't do anything with his family. He just sits there reading the word over and over and over and over. No! You can't take it that way either. You can't get goofy about it that way either. It means you meditate on it. You think about it. You know what I do throughout my day? Sometimes I read my word throughout the day. Touch on it here and there. And other times I just think about the word. I think about God's goodness. I think about what the word says. That's meditating in the law of God. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That's knowing what God has for us. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Man, the time is just going away. But that's knowing what God has for us.
Yes.
And that's just spending time thinking of that. Why? Because when the devil comes, and he's coming. When the devil comes,
yeah.
you say, wait a minute, but I know the law says, the word says this.
Yeah.
I know the Bible says this, so I don't even have to worry about that. That's where the peace is found. See, the peace is always found in the truth. The truth leads to peace. Why? Because, listen, if I tell you the truth, if you sit there thinking, well, say I knew that somebody had handed me $100,000 for you. Amen?
Uh-huh. Amen?
So somebody said, hey, I want you to give this $100,000 to Mark. Praise the Lord. You know, you're going to pay a dad tax on it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But if somebody said, you know, and Mark has some issue come up. But say I don't tell him right away. But he has some issue come up. And then all of a sudden that issue comes up and he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Praise the Lord. And I said, well, wait a minute, bud. Somebody gave me the other day, somebody said, you know, Brother Scott over there, he gave me $100,000 for you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. Amen. It's coming. He gave me $100,000 for you. So you ain't got to worry about that $150 tire.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about that. You know what? Just throw that car away. Get a new car.
Yeah.
Listen, see, the truth would set him free, right?
Yeah.
See, that's the same thing with the Word of God. The truth is what brings us peace. The truth is what settles us and says, wait a minute. The Word says something different than what I'm seeing. So I can just bank on the Word because I know God's good.
Amen.
I can bank on the Word because I know everything that He has for me is good, because I know that His plans are to prosper me, to give me a hope and a future, to give me peace. So when I praise the Lord, I'm just going to kick back and wait for it to come to pass.
Yeah.
I ain't going to worry about all this around.
Right.
Glory to God.
Yeah.
See, the devil will try to raise things up in your life. Little things will pop up all the time. And the whole purpose of it is to get you away from the truth.
That's right.
Because people start focusing on the problem. They don't focus on the truth anymore.
Yeah.
But see, as we direct people to focus back on the truth, oh, glory to God, you're just set free.
Yeah.
And then you're in peace. I'm going to tell you, I live in more peace than ever. And I was a person who was the epitome of the opposite of peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chaos. That was my life.
Yeah.
But glory to God. Glory to God.
Thank you.
Somebody was willing to teach me His Word. Somebody was willing to start a church in a town where it was hard to start the church. Praise the Lord, they went to Jamestown for a year and a half with nobody showing up in the Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
For a year and a half, that church is over 350 people today.
Yeah.
Glory
yeah.
to God.
Yeah.
And they planted another big church in Erie. Why? Because they planted Mayville, hallelujah. And now they have a direct line into Corey, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Why? Because somebody was willing to teach the word.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord, hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
His delight is in the law of the Lord. Why would your delight be in the law of the Lord? Because it's the truth and it sets you free. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. So we got the truth that sets us free. Praise the Lord. This is what that person will be like. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And look at this. Look at it. All those people that hate the prosperity message. What does the end of verse 3 say?
Yeah.
And whatever. Everybody say whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever he does, whatever she does, shall prosper.
Thank you, Lord.
That shall means will. It means without a doubt it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You can't stop it. If you do the word, if you get hooked up to the word, it's going to prosper you, brother and sister. You are going to prosper in the land of the living. See, that's the word of God. And see, this is the thing that people have a hard time with me preaching. Sometimes people don't like to hear this stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is what sets people free. They're in poverty. Why did Jesus preach the gospel to the poor? Because when they were poor, heard about the gospel, they got this message. They got taught, wait a minute, whatever I do will prosper.
Yeah.
So I don't have to be a victim of my circumstances.
Right.
I don't have to sit there. I may have grown up in the ghetto, but that don't matter because God set me free.
Yeah,
because God paid a way. And I don't have to figure out any other way. I just open this word, and this word will take me that way.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
glory,
God.
Hallelujah. Well, isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
Isn't that so awesome? Praise the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. Yeah, I love this message. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm getting fired up. I'm getting stirred up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now, we're in the beginning of Psalm. We're going to go towards the end. Go down to Psalm 119. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 119. And while you're turning there, I'm just going to take a quick sip of water. Praise
God.
I'm done preaching myself dry. Well, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Psalm 119:9. How can a young man cleanse his way? There's a question. How can a young man cleanse his way? The answer, by taking heed according to your word.
Yeah.
Meditating in the word.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about finding that perfect peace.
All right.
How can you make sure, listen, when your way is dirty, when your way is gunked up, when your way is snarfed up, when you can't get out of it, when you're so stuck, you ever stepped in with boots, you ever stepped in mud or something like that, and suction, you just couldn't get your boot out?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Well, that's
it.
How does a young man clean that way? How does a young woman clean that way? By taking heed according to your word.
Yeah.
What does taking heed mean? It means by doing it.
Do it.
It means pay attention to what it says and then do it. Say, wait a minute, this is for me. It's in the word. This is something I need to use. This is something I'm going to use. Praise the Lord. This is how I'm going to clean my way. Praise the Lord. Now look at, and it explains this further. I love the scripture because scripture doesn't just stop one little thing. You've got to take it out of context to make it read something good. But look at what the Bible says. In verse 10, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander far, or from, let me not wander from your commandments.
Yeah.
Look at this, verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. How do you keep your way clean? By keeping the word in you.
That's good.
You see, because if you start doing something that's wrong, that word, if you got that word on the inside of you, that word's going to bubble up. It's going to come up, and when it comes up, it's going to free your mind. Because you're going to say, wait a minute, even though I want to do this, I know it's not right to do this.
Yeah.
I know it won't bless me. It's going to hurt God.
Yeah.
It's going to ruin my path. It's going to take me. So I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
See, because when you hide the word there, what does that mean? You get it in there and you leave it there. You're like, when you hide something, it's something that's precious to you.
Yeah.
You don't hide garbage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, well, you might if you want to just like not, but that's not good either. You know what I mean?
Right.
Praise the Lord. I don't know if I should say this, but I tore a porch off one time. And I had to get rid of all the porch, and I didn't have a way of getting rid of it, so I put it underneath the new porch. Praise the Lord. That's all I'm going to say about that, but it's not something that you normally do, you know what I mean? I wasn't hiding it because it was a good thing. I was hiding it because I didn't want, you know, I didn't, well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't know what that had to do with it, you know? Sometimes you got to do what you got to do, but praise the Lord. I wouldn't probably do it the same way now. I'd have a fire, I'd take it to the dump or whatever, praise the Lord. And if anybody you know that porch, well, you just... Don't you say nothing about it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there's worse you can find. Hallelujah. You're not going to find treasure under that porch. Just stay out of it. Hallelujah. Glory. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Why would he tell you? Why would? Because see, the psalmist knew. There's something here for them. The psalmist knew that there was something in God's statutes, in God's way. There's something that prospers him in God's way. See, they knew that, and we need to know that. Look at this. Now this is where we start getting into that praise part of it too. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. Praise the Lord. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. See, this is what people haven't realized. They haven't realized that the Word of God is more valuable than any dollar amount you could get.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Word of God is what produces wealth, true wealth. When I talk about wealth, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about wealth of life, joy in life. Oh, is there anybody, if there's anybody that's ever experienced the opposite of peace, if they've experienced lots of chaos in their life, there is no price tag. That they wouldn't pay.
That's right.
There is no price tag they wouldn't pay for peace.
That's
but
right.
That wealth is found in there.
Amen.
See, because God is so good. Amen?
Amen.
I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. That's his word. As much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Hallelujah. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Hallelujah. See, when you see these things like, I will delight myself, what does delighting do? It rejoices, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And this is, I could go into so many, there's so many psalms about rejoicing and shouting out to the Lord and using it. But we get we're getting the basis of it today, because we could really preach probably 20 messages on this stuff.
Yeah.
But the truth of it, we can get that right here. We know what the word is saying, amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will not forget your word.
Mm-hmm.
Meditating in the word, keeping his word in us. This is what keeps us going in the right direction. It's what keeps us full. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Acts 16 and verse 22. Praise God.
Thank you.
See, this is the thing that so many people are seeking. People are seeking peace. They just want some peace in their life. And they don't realize that it's just as simple as the Word of God. It's as simple as serving God, looking to Him and just saying, Lord, teach me your Word. Show me your... You know, when we go to His Word, we should be like that. Lord, teach me your Word as I read it. You know, when I go to church, I go expecting that I'm going to hear something that I need to hear. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to walk away with something. We need to expect God. We need to, because his word tells us to. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Acts 16:22. Now this is where Paul and Silas, they were sent into a town, and they were sent there by the Lord, directed to go there by God. They go there by God, and there's this this fortune teller lady or whatever that rises up and she starts following them around and harassing them and stuff like that. And then Paul and Silas, they didn't do anything for days. And finally the spirit comes on Paul and says to deal with it. Paul deals with it, casts the demon out of the girl, the fortune teller. Fortune telling stuff is always demonic.
That's right.
It's not of
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit will show us the truth, but he doesn't do it through fortune telling.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Right. Yeah.
He does it on the inward witness. He does it in our hearts because he's good. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Doesn't have to go seek Ouija boards or any of the other goofy stuff. But see, so they cast it out, and there's people that made a lot of money off this woman, and so they weren't real happy with it because now they're not making money off it. She's not fortune telling anymore.
Right.
So what do they do? They send them. They're gonna punish them, and they send them before the judges, and the judges decide whether they're gonna go to jail. But look at this. We pick it up in verse 22. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Then the multitude rose up together against them. Okay, the multitude rose up together. Have you ever had feel like somebody's against you?
Yeah.
What about if the multitude is?
Yeah.
You know, you go to work. You may go to work, and you may have one person that doesn't like you. You may have two people. Hey, you can have the crew that don't like you. But what if everybody? What if there was hundreds of people there? What if there was hundreds of people there and they all hated you?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean just don't like you. I mean, they're ready to beat you. They're ready to put hurting on you. They're ready to do. See, this is what we're looking at. So we got to look at this in context. And we have to understand that this isn't just, well, some people were like, oh, those nasty Christians.
Mm-hmm.
No, these people were like ready to draw blood.
Yeah.
These people might have even killed them. And if we look at it here, you can see that. May have even killed them had they been given the chance or thought they could. So the multitude rose together against them. And the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. So the first thing is, they're stripped naked. And then they start getting beaten with rods. How many people here would feel comfortable with being stripped naked, first of all?
Right.
In front of a multitude.
Right.
Not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may have been a day when I was in better shape and stuff like that that I wouldn't have minded. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would be really uncomfortable with being stripped down naked. For a lot of reasons, not just because I was good. But especially if I knew people were going to start beating me. Because I'm going to tell you something else. When somebody strips you naked and they start beating you, they're not just beating you in the meaty parts.
Yeah.
They're going to beat you in the places where it counts. They're going to beat you where it hurts.
Yeah.
You understand? This is what they're going on here. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely.
Yeah.
So having received such a charge, he, the jailer, put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. Okay, so what we see here is that the jailer gets a very, very direct order. He's like, you better follow this.
Yeah.
And so they're like, all right, the jailer's like, I ain't gonna get in trouble here on account of these two guys.
Right.
So I'm taking them to the inner prison. And if you do the study, it actually says that it's like the dungeon.
Yeah.
So we don't have many dungeons around here, but it's worse than solitary confinement. And they put them in stocks. And I was doing a little bit of research on this. And I thought this was really interesting. You know, I have a Dake's study Bible or study notes. Dake's Bible is really interesting. This man was obviously inspired of God, but there's just so much. He gets into history and all this other stuff. But he said this, the Roman stocks were not only made to keep one from escape, but were made with holes wide enough apart so as to stretch the legs and bruise the feet to cause great pain and injury.
Wow.
This, with the stripes beyond moderation, made them suffer in agony. Praise the Lord. This is exactly what they were doing. So we understand that first they were beaten with rods, they were beaten, they were whipped, they had all these stripes placed on them. You know, they could have been, they most certainly were bleeding, they were most certainly hurt really bad. But then to add insult to injury, he throws them into these stocks, which stretches their legs apart, which causes injury to them just by stretching apart. Now, I don't know if you know, I used to be in gymnastics, and our goal was to be able to do a split, and as guys, that's not always easy. Praise the Lord. There's a lot more training a guy has to do to get do a split than what a girl has to do. It's just the truth, the way things work. But I'm going to tell you what, man, I remember one time when I was going through the training, and the training was painful. What you would do is you would go down into a split as far as you could go, and then you would have a partner come up behind you and put their hands on your hips, and they would start pushing you down and push you down until you couldn't bear it anymore, and that's where you would stop. And you would try to hold that, and after you do that repeatedly, you stretch out your legs until you can do a complete split. I actually knew somebody who started on two chairs spread apart and tied weights to his legs to weigh his body down to force those tendons to stretch out. So you understand that it takes a lot of work to do this. But you think about doing this, it's just somebody not caring about taking time. You know what I mean? Somebody's just forcing. I'm trying to create this allure that we have to understand. Not many of us have been through this kind of punishment.
Right. Yeah.
Not many of us have suffered this kind of tribulation. Not many of us have been under this kind of trial before. Amen? So we can see that. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
And I love this. In verse 25, picks it up here. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God.
Amen.
And the prisoners were listening to them. I don't know about these nut jobs here, but I'm going to tell you what. These guys, I mean, they're in the inner prison. They've just been whipped and beaten. They're bloody. They're bruised. They're looking bad. Hallelujah. They threw them into these stocks. They're bruising them more. They're putting them in constant pain. And they're in there singing praises. They're praying to God and singing praises. But see, now look at what happens in verse 26. Suddenly, everybody say suddenly.
Suddenly.
See, sometimes we need those suddenlies to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We do.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Where are we going to find them? We're going to find them by meditating.
Yes.
See, Paul and Silas, they knew the word.
Yeah.
And so what did they do? They praised God.
Yeah.
See, the word tells us that when it don't look good, when it don't feel good, it says you start picking up the praise.
Yeah. Right.
You start praising, you praise your way out of it. Amen. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Amen. Suddenly,
amen,
there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
This happened, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Opposition, whether sickness, lack, or the like, its purpose is to bind your thoughts.
Yeah.
When your thoughts are bound, you will not trust the word. And that is why we sing praises. That is why we learn to do this. This is why we reach out to what we know, what the word says. It wasn't comfortable on them. Surely it won't be comfortable on us. But if, as we do it, we see the bondage that the enemy has intended to keep us from moving into the plan of God,
yeah,
we see those fall away.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. Find something in your life to praise him about. And then do it. When you're going through trial, find something. When it's the heaviest on you that you don't know what to do, praise him. Find a way to praise him. There's something he's done. If nothing else, he gave his son. You know, I go to the beach and I collect these things. They're called oliliths. They're little, they're like the ear bone of a fish, a sheephead fish, a certain kind of thing. And the Indians used to trade them for currency. And I got a little jar of them on my desk in Mayville. Praise the Lord. Hayden helped me fill that. It's overflowing. Glory to God. But I love to go to the beach and get them. But I've made this habit as I'm down there that every time I find one, I say praise the Lord. Glory.
Yeah.
I just say praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I get excited because it's not something that there's just an abundance of. So to find a bunch, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
So I just say praise the Lord. Now, does praising the Lord make me find more?
No.
No. Finding more has nothing to do with me praising the Lord.
Yeah.
But what does it do? It keeps me in that realm of just saying, praise God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people say to me, people that aren't even church people, they'll say to me something. I remember I was in a coffee shop recently and somebody came in and they said something. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And they looked at me like I was the goofiest person in the world. But I don't care.
Yeah.
Because praising the Lord is what makes my chains fall off.
Right.
When that enemy tries to shackle me up, it's praising the Lord.
Yeah.
That's where
right.
I find that peace. See, Paul and Silas found peace in that, and the peace would also release them.
Yep.
Glory
yep.
to God.
Yep.
Now, sometimes, you know, I don't want to go through what they went through, so I don't need an earthquake to happen when I praise the Lord.
Yeah.
You understand? I mean, if I have to go through it, then I will.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that, you know, I'll do anything for the Lord, but they were doing some really wonderful things for God.
Yeah.
You know, people want the power that they have, but they don't want to put up with the opposition they put up with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People are like, well, why don't we see Pastor Jeff's shadow falling on people and healing them? Well, because I'm not being beaten and thrown in prison either.
Right.
And standing that trial. See, there's the greater your influence, the greater the attack.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm not saying I won't be there someday. I believe someday we will be. But there's going to be a because you take a baby and you start attacking them like that, they won't make it.
Yeah. Right.
Praise God.
Right.
They won't.
Yeah.
See, the Bible gives us a truth, and the truth sets us free. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But we're going to close here. Turn with me to Philippians 4:6. I love Philippians 4. There's so much good stuff in there. I mean, you say that, I say that all the time, but I just get excited because I know, I love these scriptures. You know, Philippians 4:13 tells us that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:19 tells us that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. So through Christ Jesus, so I don't even have to worry about my job providing or my neighbor providing or my wife providing or my... You know, you don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You just know that the Lord will provide. Glory to God. But Philippians 4:6, I love this too. It says, be anxious for nothing.
Yeah.
What does that mean? It means don't worry about it. Eh?
Yeah.
Why? Because if you trust God, you ain't got to worry.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
remember what it said way back there in Isaiah 26:3? What did it say way back there? Great peace. Oh, you will keep him in perfect peace. Whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. And then down here, Philippians 4:6, we see be anxious for nothing. Why? Because we trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
When we trust in the Lord, we know we got the answers. We know that we're going to get it. We know that it's going to happen. So just sit back, relax. It's going
to happen.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's praise. Hallelujah. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He said to go with him with thanksgiving. Father, I thank you. You're so good. I thank you. You've provided every day of my life. You've given me things that I haven't even seen. There will be times I'll be in heaven and I'll see all the angels that worked on my behalf. Father, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that I'm still alive. I didn't die young. Lord, I thank you that I've got a plan for me that's good and it's prosperous. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you that you sent your son. See, there's thanksgiving to be said.
Right.
And see, as we do that, this is exactly what Paul and Silas were doing. When the enemy turns up the heat, you turn up the praise.
That's right.
Yeah. Glory to God.
Yep.
What's going to happen is you can't, like I said, you can't praise God and be sad for too long.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
One of two things happens. You either stop praising God, or you just move into everything the praise gets you.
Yep.
Amen?
Yep.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And look at this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds and your mind through Christ Jesus. When you have understanding of the Word, when you have understanding of what He's paid for, when you have understanding of what He's provided, when you have understanding of who God is, it is not hard. You will have the peace in your mind. And when you get that and you thank God and you praise God, it's going to fall on you and it's going to go with you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. If you're out of peace, start praising God.
Yes.
I don't care if it's sickness. I don't care if it's lack. I don't care if it's depression. I don't care what's coming at you. I don't care if it's a busy season. You can take time out and start praising God.
Yeah.
I think it was Martin Luther that said, not Martin Luther King Jr., but Martin Luther, the much older Martin Luther. Amen. I think it was him that said, I had so much to do today, I got up and prayed for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying you have to get up and pray for 4 hours, but I'm just saying when you put God first, you watch and see what happens.
Yeah.
You watch and see how your life changes. When you put him before, when you praise him for his goodness, when you don't sit there and blame him for what the devil's doing, but you talk to God about how good he is, you watch and see how your life changes.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You heard it here first. Maybe you didn't hear it here first. Maybe you heard it somewhere else first. But you re-heard it here again.
Amen.
And that's all that we need to know. We go on and do the word, and we have all the blessing of God in the land of living.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Thank you.